Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
She said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, welcome everybody back to a brand new episode of the podcast. I'll be the host of this year's podcast, the Ted Smith, greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, the upper box on Zoom coming in from Austin, I believe. It goes by the name of Aaron Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Matt, you're going to have to bleep me. Boys, I'll just say it. Ted Smith is f***ing back. Aaron Cobb is f***ing back. Matt Koch is back. Let's go.
I'm
back in the saddle.
Beaming in from the desert to California, MCTP Matt, Cobb, the producer. What's up, Matt?
Real names right from the start, huh, boys?
Well, Cobb usually has Cobb, but he had his full name up there when I glanced on the screen. I was like, oh, there we go.
Yeah, it's good to see you guys. It's been a minute since all three of us were together. It's good to see you both.
It is. And Cobb and I had a full Ireland adventure. I mean, he had other adventures too, but just top notch. I don't know where to start. I'll start with Matt. There it is in person.
Oh, there yeah. It is. Ted's got his IRA ink.
It's the Trinitarian cross that they use at Dematha, but I did get it in Dublin in the Temple Bar area.
Tattooed on Ted's forearm.
Yeah, it is tattooed in the middle of my forearm. I love it, man. I've never had a tattoo. I can't stop looking at it.
Looks awesome.
It looks great. It was the right move, too. You've worn that bracelet for 16 years.
Yeah, right. So, right. I always have Brendan Looney on my wrist. And then his brother, when he was out here for the USA versus Australia match, we were having some beers the night before, and he had a Dematha tattoo like on his back shoulder. And I was like, it kind of was in my mind. I was like, man, that's one I might think about getting. And then
it's a real quick Brendan Looney, Navy SEAL killed in action, right?
Correct. Yeah. So people can look him up. And then He played lacrosse at the academy. His two younger brothers also played lacrosse. They all played lacrosse together at the academy. His two younger brothers ended up being SEALs as well. So pretty historic family, if you know, like military stuff. And there's a famous book about him and his roommate Travis that like they agreed if they were killed in action, they'd be buried together. So it's called Brothers Forever. So Wow. They're. Right, so the Dematha thing, and then I was like, well, it kind of reminds me of that. It reminds me of Dematha. I was like, and it reminds me of Ireland now. So it's like every time I look at it, it's got like a new little memory.
The homeland. Honestly, yeah. It's awesome, man. Like, yeah, you were wearing the bracelet commemorating his death for years. It's like no better reason to get a tattoo, I think. And also, it came out looking sick. He did get it on a whim. Like, it wasn't a planned thing, but it looks amazing.
And I was very happy that like the first day back at work, I didn't tell anybody I worked with because I wanted to surprise them. So I had to wear like a long sleeve shirt all day. And then when I took it off, like Thrill was like, no. Miles was like rubbing my arm. He's like, is that real? And I was like, well, why would I shave my arm for a temporary tattoo? But like, right. Even Thrill was like, dude, like that's really good work. Like the guy knew what he was doing. And I was like, yeah, I'm just glad it came out well.
Yeah, it's great.
We were in that shop for like 2 hours because everybody else was just getting like a little flash tattoo, which is just like, you know, you see people with them. It's like quick outline. And then I was like, all right, if I'm going to get one, I'm going to get one. And then full disclosure, your boy, like that was great because Kyle, we got back to Dublin in the evening time. you went to your hotel. Like, we had dinner. I'd had a few pints, but we weren't, like, hammered. And then I got so nervous, like, before when I decided to get the tattoo, I was like, I got to go poop first. I'm a little nervous.
Just got to get it out, you know, be ready. That's awesome. Well, honestly, man, I feel like it's a real tribute to your friend and like a nice living memory. So I think it was the right move. It looks amazing too. And like kind of cool, the circumstances under which you got it. And like you got to see the family what over this summer too, when they came out. So I think it all kind of dovetailed together perfectly.
Yeah. Got to
now
see
we just
our buddy.
Get Chris to get a tattoo.
Oh, I know. I didn't realize I was the first like Smith cousin to get one.
Oh, you are kind of the crazy one in the family. You know, Ted's out there in Seattle smoking weed, acting wild.
Do either of any of the nephews and nieces have them before? Because like a lot of those kids are old enough to have decided.
I mean, Maddie and CJ are the oldest two, niece and nephew. They don't have them.
Okay.
If and they then, do, they haven't told us, Matt.
Yeah, I was going to say, I won't lie. Like, I knew my mom wasn't going to be a big fan. She was like, you're only getting one, right? I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But yeah, it took me. I didn't put it in the group, the tailgate trip thread that night. But like, I texted you guys. I texted Nick and George. I texted Billy Looney. I was like, look at this. It's badass.
I'll say this. If Ole Miss gets a championship, I think we're going to see another tattoo in the Smith family.
Yeah. but Ireland overall, man, I won't stop talking about it. I highly recommend it. Everybody should go. I mean, just awesome. So I get there. The first day I got there, little mishap with my luggage. It's okay. I had a layover in the Netherlands. So the first night, I went to this famous pub called the Brazen Head, which is supposed to be the oldest pub in Dublin. Got some takeaway food, as they call it, and just kind of went back up to my room because I showered, but I was wearing a shirt that I'd had on for 26 hours. Cool. So first night was a little bit of a wrap. Got my luggage at like 9:30, 10 o'clock. Get up the next day, hit the train station in Dublin, meet up with our good buddy Justin Barnes, get down to Cork. Cobb's already there.
Let's go. Yeah, flew into Cork from London to see the boys, and it was awesome. Cork is like, I don't know, it's like maybe the size of Bellingham or so, and just kind of like way out on the edge of Ireland. Really cool town.
Yeah, I really liked Cork too. And like, I was going to say, like me, you and Barnes hang out all the time, especially when you lived here. But like me and you have traveled to like Burning Man and stuff, but I don't know that I've really traveled that much with Barnes. And then especially if the three of us go out, like it's always a giant group. So it was really fun for two nights. It was literally just the three of us.
Yeah. The chop was excellent. That's excellent cool. Chop. Ted and I even did we got a little touristy dude. We went up in a little medieval castle, talked about our family histories. It was dope.
Yeah.
What was the name of the town? How do you spell it?
Cork. C-O-R-K.
Oh, like the wine wood. Cork. Okay.
Yeah. More so like it's a county, and we were like in the city. It's Ireland's second biggest city and was originally the capital.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No so how many times tans, did you tell right? other people that, Ted? How many? How quick
times.
Did you learn that fact?
Pretty quickly. And I like the people of Cork. They're proud to be from Cork.
Yeah. They like distinguish. Like they're not Irish. They're from Cork.
Right. They have shirts that just have the outline and it's like Cork. And then the rest of it just says not Cork. So like it's almost like Texas. Like they're really proud of it.
Yeah.
Ted, are you ready to when someone says, oh, we're going to Ireland. Oh, where are you going? We're going to Dublin. You're just going to be like from now on, like, of course you're going to fucking Dublin.
You peasant.
Yeah. I mean, look, Dublin's awesome. Too. Dublin is great. I would highly recommend, though, if you're going for like a week, get outside of just Dublin. And there's tons of Dublin I didn't see, but I mean, I still spent four nights in Dublin. So Dublin's awesome. And like, what else are you going to say? When we were in Cork, Matt, the first night, we went to kind of a nice restaurant. What was it? Luigi Malone's. So Cobb and Barnes haven't seen each other in a minute. And Barnes, frankly, was going through a little bit of an emotional thing. And they're having a very serious conversation. It's just the three of us at dinner. But on a whim, Cobb had ordered chicken wings. So like halfway through, Cobb just kind of looks up at me and he's like, what? I'm like, I don't want to say it, but these might be the best chicken wings I've ever had.
Yeah, it was like a moment when like someone's about to cry. I think Ted's gonna be like, you know, like something like that's happened to me too. And Ted's just like, I don't want to say it, but these might be the best chicken wings I've ever had. It's like, Jesus Christ, dude. It's like, read the room. Like, he knew and was like, I gotta step over it anyway. They're that good.
Right, man, I'm telling you, it was unbelievable. The whole meal there was delicious. Got a delicious piece of Parmesan encrusted cod, but I couldn't get over the chicken wings. So here's a few wild things about Ireland. A, they have Coors everywhere. So you don't have to drink just Guinness or Beamish.
Was it Coors Light and they just call it Coors? I couldn't figure that out the whole time.
So the branding looks like exactly like Coors Light, but it's just Coors. I did a little research. I feel like somehow it's a little different. It's like, it's not Banquet. So I don't know. It tastes like Coors Light. Like it's good.
That's what I wasn't sure if we were drinking Coors Light or Coors. I always asked for Coors, but I wasn't. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
And then the chicken wing culture blew me away. I was like, huh, they're really into chicken wings here. Like, okay. And then the next day, right, Cobb's right. Like, Barnes was sleeping in. I meet Cobb in the lobby. I've already got a printout of stuff we should go see. He's like, oh, okay. Like, we're being real tourist. We went to an old church. We went to Fort Elizabeth, learned the history there. Went to a Supermax, which is like McDonald's, but it's just in Ireland. And the guys won a court case against him.
It was awesome. And I will say, like, you know, for Ted, like, the wings of a cult, like, the wings are the measure of a culture. And when that wing took him back, like, I saw his respect level go up for Ireland massively. Like, it was at a 6, and then, like, that wing hit him, and he kind of, like, double-taked, and, like, you saw the glint in his eye, and it was like, Ireland's a fucking 10, boys. They're like us. I'm like, it changed the game. That changed the trip, honestly, having those wings. It's like, his respect level peaked, and he's like, I like these guys, like, all about it.
Well, yeah, an American saying it's the best chicken wing they've ever had has to be, that's like an Italian coming over here and saying some place has the best pizza.
Yeah, they were elite, man. I'm not gonna lie, they were. I mean, the story was sad and I was in the moment, but those chicken wings were damn good.
And I'm telling you, it's like they just read the blueprint of a buffalo chicken wing. Small, crispy, the sauce was good, almost tangy, but not like overly spicy. Like, I was just like, this is what, to me, I would design a wing. I mean, it reminded me of the Wing King and some of yours you've made. I was just like, these are good wings.
Yeah, it was elite, top tier. No question.
Yeah, we went out that night, hit the kebabs. We even hit like a, was that count as going to a club?
Chipper?
Well,
we went to a nightclub. Ted, come on. We went to a nightclub that maybe half the people there were like 17. I don't even care. But then, yeah, we hit the Chipper. AKA anywhere that we were trying to figure out if that's a kebab shop or a fish and chip shop. Turns out it's both. Anything that sells fries, AKA chips, is the Chipper late at night. So we hit a pretty solid Chipper. I felt it was good. What'd you think, Ted?
I love the kebab shop, man. I thought it was great. Just like they're just scraping or, you know, sawing it off and everything. And then, yeah, the next day we did our tour, learned a little history, and then Cobb took a nap. So here's another thing that shocked me. Barnes looks at me and he goes, hey, let's go to a barbershop and get cleaned up before the wedding. So this is Friday now. The wedding's on Sunday. Go over to this barbershop, just a random one. There's a dude out front. I found out they're all Turkish. He's literally drinking coffee, smoking a cig, and we're just like, are you waiting? He's like, no, I am owner. I'll take you two now. Matt, there was people waiting. I don't know if they're waiting for him or other barbers. Takes his right hand. I mean, what he did to my beard was unbelievable. I was so fired up. And then it was like, then he got Barnes in, and it was literally €20. I was like, this is fucking awesome. I didn't realize barbershop and wings and Coors were going to be part of the culture.
Honestly, that is like, it was like built for you. It's like, all they need is college football and you're moving.
Right.
I had zero of those three on my bingo card.
College football and busty women.
And then I don't know if I texted you, Matt, but I think that day I was sitting there with Ron. Every bar also either had Guinness NA or 00, as they call it, or Heineken 00 on draft at every bar.
The draft is a great level. I've only had NA draft once, and that was at the Heineken brewery in Amsterdam. So, and it was the best. So yeah, I was really jealous when you were telling me about that one. That's next level in them. Did you have any pace cars?
I threw in a Heineken one night because I was like, oh, it's getting a little loose.
On draft?
On draft, yeah. But also,
over there they call it pulling a pint.
Pulling a pint, yeah.
Which I love.
You don't pour a draft beer, you pull a pint.
Yeah, you pull a pint.
Oh, man. You don't get a pint when you order NA. It's always 12 ounces. It's already in a bottle or a can. It's so frustrating, but they bring you the pint glass. I never take it.
I'm the UK, baby. They just pull it straight from the tap.
That's next level,
regular
dude.
Regular glass.
Yeah.
Just like everyone else, not a second-class citizen.
Yeah. And also, like, I've definitely noticed between, you could tell Americans, because, like, people drink whiskey and, like, might do a shot, but it's not like here where there's, like, a shot culture. So, like, it's a lot of drinking, but, it, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, people were getting drunk, but it wasn't, like, I don't, like, falling over drunk. I feel like if you go to, like, a bar sometimes in the States. So it was.
Yeah, it's more like a rolling drunk.
Isn't like that like peak. Most of Europe?
Yes.
I feel like it is. London was definitely a little heavier booze and more shots, but maybe it was the people I was with in London.
Say,
it was,
that could be you, Ted.
Yeah, the Londoners get after it. I feel like the Southern Europe, they kind of like, you know, do the day drinking. But wait, Ted, were you going to talk about the Irish pub thing that we went to? The one we can't say the name, like the Shire or whatever the hell it was.
Oh, I forgot about that. Right. So we get the haircuts. We go out to dinner again. And then we're walking by this pub. And we were like, they have live music going. It's early in the evening. And we're like, let's just pop in for one. We stayed for 4 hours.
Shanae. That's what it's called. Sin E is how it's spelled.
I got chewed out by an old timer because he didn't like my Arsenal jersey. And then was kind of giving me shit. But there was this English couple next to me, and he was like, don't let the old timer mess with you. And then by the time we left, he was like giving me a hug, still calling me kind of a pussy, but he was like, I like you now. I'm like, all right. So I mean, we got like the full experience.
Also, Matt, it was like out of a movie. We went into two Irish pubs that, like, of course they honestly look a lot like the Irish pubs in America, but just like way more authentic. Like, we have like the Applebee's version of their pub, and then in there, like, this felt like a movie prop. There's four guys at each of them sitting at a table, like, playing little, like, magical-looking instruments. And everyone's, like, tapping along. And it's Irish drinking songs the whole time. And, like, that's what really suckered us in. It's like one guy had, like, a little tiny, I don't even know what these instruments were. One was, like, a little guitar thing. A guy had, like, a little drum that he has to hold next to his face. And he has, like, a little. So we were kind of, like, picturing ourselves as those musicians. But, dude, I'm a big music fan. It was cut after cut after, like, they were pumping the crowd up, dude. People were clapping along. They said if people get hyped enough, like, the women will start singing. Like, it hit, dude. Honestly, heavy drops.
Yeah,
we planned 20 minutes, we were there for 4 hours. That should say it all.
And like, the dudes that are in the band, they don't even really move. People just walk over and hand them pints of whatever they're drinking.
Yeah, they're like just at a regular table.
Oh.
And it happened not once but twice. Like, it was magic, and it looked like an effing Disney movie. Like, it was absurd.
It did seem like he's right. It was almost like a comic or a caricature of what you'd expect. It was like, this is great. And I didn't realize that place was packed when we got there. We lucked out and got a little like booth half table. But every time I went outside or like we were coming back from the chipper, there was like a line out there. Like, people wanted to get in there.
Whoa.
Yeah. And apparently those guys like
twice?
To two different bars, two different little bands.
No way.
Killing it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Dude, it's wild. And then the next day, we train over to Killarney. And then I was talking to people there, and they were just saying, oh, yeah, that's like a thing. Like, those guys will be in there. Like, you just do this or that. I'm like, oh, all right. And then Yeah, so we get over to Killarney. We did like a tour of this giant lake there. Also, shout out. Generally, I'm a Pacific salmon guy, but shout out to the Atlantic salmon. It swims through the river into this lake, drops its, load, sperm, whatever you want to call it. And then unlike Jesus. The Pacific salmon, it swims back out and keeps living.
Wow.
Yeah.
More of a single dad vibe. It's like, you know what? I'm getting back out there.
Killarney was awesome. It was a bank holiday weekend. So like the whole town is packed. Everybody's hanging out. At some point, I didn't mean to, but you know me. I always get in the culture. I've met one of like Rowan's aunts.
Get the culture.
She's like,
you do, dude.
Yeah. She's like, you got to try the spice bag. I'm like, all right. So then she's like, sit with us. So there's like half an hour where everybody's up atop this pub mat, kind of hanging and mingling. And there's a guy playing a guitar and a woman singing. And like people are dancing. I'm just getting the lowdown on Irish culture. Like his uncle worked at Cadbury. You only drink Barry's tea. They mix it down in Cork. Like there's different types of crisp and this and that. And then I just hear my name and it's Rowan. He's like, Ted. I just hop up. He's like, get it. Like, I need you. I'm like, all right. Now it's the entire group, everybody at the wedding and me and this other guy. And they like teach us this like Irish dance. And we had to like dance with a broom. And then they're like, you're the dance leaders for tomorrow. But it was so hot up there. I was like dripping sweat. what was going to say? Yeah. So we did that. And then, yeah, I found some random bar. I lost the entire group and just went on my own solo adventure. And then luckily, people found me. So my phone just was not working inside of Killarney.
Now, let me set the scene for the actual wedding. It's like, have you ever seen Saltburn?
No.
For anyone listening, it's like this like Tudor style mansion in the Irish countryside, like just grounds in every direction, like massive lawn, tuxedos, tiny French cigarettes. Ted and I just in the zone, like just chopping it up with the best of them. Like it was, I mean, it looked, I mean, it was a black tie affair. You know, what else is there to say? And Ted and I were just, we couldn't miss. It was like we were back to back, like fighting out. Like, I don't even think I spoke to Ted for the first 3 hours, but we were just in, like, I would see him, you know, toss him a cigarette, same back. Like it was, we were on fire, man. And so was Barnes. And it was so much fun.
Dude. Right. So Cobb had a tux on. I had bought a brand new black suit and specifically got it tailored like tighter in certain spots than I normally would. And like Cobb comes out and he's like, dude, that's the way a suit should look. And I mean, we came like, you know, when like the movie, when like the girl comes down the stairs and the guy's like, oh my God, Cobb and I come down the stairs. He got on his tux. I have all this suit to like, people were just like, oh Jesus. Like you two look really good. I mean, it wasn't even like gassing us up. They're just like, wow. Like, what are you guys doing up there on the fourth floor? It's like dominating.
Yeah. It's like we're personality hires for this wedding and we're about to take over, which we did. Also, Matt, my whole thing, you know, I'm not a late night guy. Like when we're out festivals, whatever, like I'm usually in bed by like 1-2 o'clock. Ted's our late night guy. He's the coyote. Yeah. He gets stronger as the night goes on. It always throws people, but you know, you just like, you can't keep pace with that. I made myself a promise before this wedding. I was like, I've been traveling Europe. Like I am tired. I'm beaten down. Europe has got me. I haven't been home in a month. I haven't done laundry in a long time, but I'm like, for this wedding, like I'm showing up big and like, no matter what, like I will be the last man standing. I'm like, until the bride goes to sleep, the groom goes to sleep, like I am here and I'm playing all out. And dude, there's a photo of us at 6:30 a.m. on the front steps of this mansion, tuxedos just torn to shreds. I literally lost the whole top half of my tuxedo, brand new, gone. I'm ripping a cigarette, girl under my arm. Ted's in the background with a Euro DJ, one of our friends. Like there's the stairs is like 6 or 7 survivors. The groom's brother is still awake, Ty, like all askew. Dude, it's probably my favorite photograph of the month and a half long trip in Europe. Like it is exquisite. Like you can just feel the degeneracy. Like there's a velvety texture to it that you can only get from like 12 hours of partying as hard as you can.
Yeah.
It was pretty elite air. Ted,
and I had been warned by actual Irish people I know, by people that had been to a wedding in Ireland, like, hey, just see, I know you like to party and stuff. This is a different level. And I was like, yeah. Like, Smith weddings are super dope. They weren't lying, Matt. I mean, you have the cocktail hour, which seemed like it might have been 2 hours. They are Irish. The speeches went too long. I almost passed out. It's hot in our room. But then after that, it's just like dinner's coming out, drinks are flowing. They had a DJ till midnight. Then there's like this whole other room is full of snacks, little sausage rolls, this tea and that. You eat some food, drink some water. Then there was a live band. Then there was a DJ from midnight till 2 a.m. And then after that, in the bottom of this manor house or mansion, whatever it is a bar that used to be a cave. And they locked in. Yeah. You locked in there till like 4 a.m.
And there's a bar, and we brought our own DJ. It was sick.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's so cool.
And yeah. It was so much fun. Also, like, bride looked amazing. The groom looked dapper. Like, just the wedding felt like it went off without a hitch. Everyone was in an amazing mood. It was so much fun. And it's so many of, like, at least for me, so many of my closest friends from Seattle. It was beautiful to see them together. It was, like, just heartwarming and just, you know, it was incredible in all the best ways. And I was ripping little French cigarettes for the first time.
That's the detail I keep loving the most from all of this. I'm like, dude, I just love that you guys are smoking cigs abroad, dude.
Let me tell you, I had never had a cigarette in my life until the second week of July, Saint-Tropez, and the French guys got me on. They're not real cigarettes. They call them bitch cigarettes. But what they really are is those little long, little thin French cigarettes.
Yeah.
And buddy, let me tell you, nothing more fun than like passing out cigs to all the French dudes and just ripping them and like trying to solve problems. So anytime something would go wrong, I would have a pack and just start passing them out. And all the guys are like, oh yeah, what are we going to do, man? This is crazy. I'll also say this as far as a few little random trip highlights. I am banned from Airbnb. I was banned for life. We've since knocked that down to 3 years. So that's looking good. Before the wedding, leading in, I bought 5 packs of little French cigarettes. And I can't remember if it was Ted or Joe, but someone's like, oh, that's crazy. Like, we're not going to go through all those. We went through every single cig.
Yes.
Like the final pass out of the night at 6:30. Like, we're just ripping those little darts. It was so much fun, man. Like, if I pull them into my lungs, obviously they kind of hurt. So I just kind of like smoke it almost like you'd smoke a cigar. But Matt, there must be 100 photos of me in a tuxedo posing with a cigarette trying to look cool.
God, that's like, so bad.
All night, dude.
I know it looks cool, dude. We mean trying. Cool.
It's all right, dude. I'll say this. I ran smoking bars for 10 years, never smoked a cigarette. It feels as cool as it looks. Yeah, I'll say dude. It.
Not only that,
smoking is cool. Don't Matt, do it, only, but it is cool.
Not only was Cobb running hot with his little French cigarettes, the man was like drinking beers. Like at one point in that bar, somebody asked me a question and they were like, and I go, dude, like, he doesn't want one. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, he's fine. But I was like, I've never seen him drink this much beer in my life. Like when we were in that
9 beers
pub,
and 4 Sprites.
Yeah. They were playing music. Like your boy was putting down a pint.
Dude, I'm a when in Rome guy, Matt. When I'm in France, I smoke French cigarettes. And when I'm in Ireland, I drink beers.
That's what I was thinking was, you're not the biggest beer guy I know, but in Ireland, I would expect nothing less from you.
I almost never drink. But the thing is, like, I do.
Just say, you don't drink that much to begin with.
Yeah. This is like, I will say, this is something I hold near and dear to my heart. Is like, if you're going somewhere to experience their culture, you can't be a salad bar selector. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just pick and choose the pieces you want. It's like, if you want to go and live life how they live, then like, when they start playing Irish music, you're going to be clapping. When they start drinking Irish beer, you're going to be drinking. When they start shooting Irish whiskey, you're going to be shooting. You know, and like in France, like what was I doing? I was drinking Aperol spritzes, smoking little cigarettes and complaining about the government. It was beautiful. You know,
what are we going to do about
this? We were plotting an overthrow. We're like, we got to get England out of here. In London, dude, I was like literally getting a tuxedo made. It's like you just went in Rome, man. Like do as the Romans do.
I was going to say. Yeah, now some of the downsides. The roads are really tiny.
We took some damage.
We almost got stuck in an alley. I won't name drop the person, but Matt, you know them pretty well.
Like our car almost got wedged in an alley. That's how tight it
okay.
is. Between two buildings.
Our other buddy, BD, he knew what he was doing driving. But Cobb and I are in the back seat. There's 4 of us in this tiny car. We have all this luggage. And at one point, Cobb's like, hey, man, can you just move this luggage? Like, I'm going to get car sick. And I was like, no sweat. And then like a half hour later, I was like, sorry, dude, I got to move it for a second. Like, my leg's killing me.
Yeah.
And it's just zooming around and cars are just zipping by. Like the next day we took a bus to the train station. The buses go zipping around. I mean, it's in the bus, you're fine. But I was just like, whew, I would not want to drive these roads.
Yeah. Matt, we're like in this little tiny Fiat with 4 people's luggage. We're all 4 big people and we are packed into this thing. It looked farcical. It looked like an Americans in Europe commercial. And it's these tiny little roads through like sheep farms in Ireland. So they're all like stone on both sides or just a cliff. I mean, it was straight out of a movie. I don't know what else to say.
It was. Dingle was beautiful though. good Spice Fox.
Great Spice Bag.
or spice bag, not spice box. Yeah. And then a few people were staying at this hotel that was like, I don't know, 10, 15 minute walk. So like, it's getting like 11:30. So everybody's going to sleep. I'm like, I'm going to walk up there and see who's up. So of course, me and the mayor meet some people. They grew up in Maryland, now live in Seattle. There's piano playing. It gets way too late. Finally, it's like 2:15. And I'm like, oh, I got to walk back. And like, it's fine, but it's just misty. I'm by the water. There's not a car in this town moving. There's not a human moving. Like, I called my buddy Sean. He's like, what's up, dude? I'm like, ah, I'm a little scared. I'm going to run into a ghost. So I'm just talking to you on the phone.
Ghost.
It was eerie, man. It was like kind of wet and just like you're out in the farms, you know?
Whoa. And I'm walking down the middle of the street. As I said, I didn't see one car. I was just like, wow. It, I mean, they definitely go to bed a little bit earlier. And Dingo's beautiful, but it's definitely a little quieter, like beach town.
Yeah, it's a little spooky at night, for sure. Yeah.
This is more for Ted, because I just envision both of you probably, but like how they speak English in Ireland, but with very thick Irish accents. Is that correct?
Dublin's fine. I picked up some of the phrases, you know, how you getting on, lad? You know, like, it's like, how you doing? What's the crack? Is it good crack? Like, crack could be used a lot. Cork was the only place it was hard to understand a couple of them. Like, Cobb, that one dude ordering that Corona.
Oh, buddy.
I can't even do an impression, but he was, like, ordering over our shoulder. And I'm like, what are you ordering? And finally, he's like, I'm like, oh, Corona.
All I could do was stare. I mean, it's rare to catch me that flat-footed, and I was so shocked. Like, we had just gotten kind of plunged into Ireland in the deep end. Like, the Irish band is going off. We're tightly packed into this bar. You and I are like in a crowd, and yeah, he was trying to order past us, and I was like, I have struggled to believe that's English. Like, every word I didn't know. And he was trying to order a Corona, but it was like some totally alien Irish dialect. I mean, Ted and I just looked at, I mean, I think I started laughing, honestly. I just didn't know what to do.
Even parts of the UK are like that, but yeah, that's wild. Like,
yeah, there is this thick, the Scottish, like Scott, I've talked to a couple of Scottish people when they're drunk. That's pretty hard to understand too. But yeah, yeah, like most of the English people I can get pretty well. And most of the Irish are fine. It's just because even people in Dublin will be like, oh, you're in Cork. Could you understand them?
Yeah,
do they
seriously
struggle to understand you?
No.
One. No, it was fine. Like, a guy in Dublin was just making fun of me in a good way. Because he was like, when'd you get here? And I was like, last Tuesday. And he's like, Tuesday? What's that, two words? Is that 2 days? I was like, oh, man. And he was just like, you talk slow. And I was like, all right. Like, you're a talk monster going a mile a minute.
Talk slow.
All right.
Yeah. Also, yeah. I'll give us credit, man. Like, in that Irish bar, like, we were rifling beers.
Yeah. Matt, one of the highlights was this one couple, and they live in Essex, so they live in England now, but he just liked the Arsenal shirt I was wearing and then shook my hand, and I was like, yeah, I love him. And he's like, oh, you're American, even better. And then they sat with us, they sat with us for 2 hours drinking till we left them in there.
We were very popular.
Ted, did you use your flex of like, I actually watch games live, I get up over there at any point during the trip?
So with him a little bit, but the one day I was in, one of the days I was in Dublin, I didn't even realize Arsenal was playing a friendly. So I talked to a bunch of Brits, and like, I was kind of shocked. A couple of them were like, oh yeah, American fan. But most of them were like, I can't believe you get up that early. And they're just like, you care that much? Like, but you're not from there. And I'm like, no. And they're just like, they were really nice and like kind of pumped. Some of the hardcore dudes are just like, ah, American. One guy was like, you get up that early for baseball? I was like, all right, it's fair.
You were doing it before any of these Euro leagues had streaming, before streaming was even a thing. Kids could just wake up whenever and just watch it on demand these days. I think they could put a little respect on your name over there.
Absolutely. Glad to hear. Ted, put in the hard yards.
And that yellow and maroon pinstriped one I wear is so specific from 2010 that like, after the game, we were drinking in Dublin at this cool place, and like these guys kept coming up to me, and my friends are like, what do they keep? I was like, oh, they think I'm British. They think I'm from London, and they like the jersey. And then when they hear my voice, they're like, huh. So yeah, that was pretty fun. Overall, just a great time. Touristy stuff you should do. If you go to Saint or you go to Trinity College, just a heads up, you need tickets to go into the famous library. I did not have tickets. St. Patrick's, you could just kind of walk around the grounds. You don't have to have a ticket. Do the Guinness Brewery. That tour was awesome. I was texting Cobb, just the aesthetics and the way they've like the way they have the lights and everything. It's really cool. It's a little pricey, but I thought it was definitely worth it. Yeah, I mean, I was going to say football's back, but we're already kind of up against it. You know what? Let's take a break here. Let's do some emails. What's Mattinin?
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome everybody back. Thanks to our sponsors. Again, if anything gets stinky, call Pinky's, Pinky's Plumbing. Then, of course, God forbid something happens to you, some idiot hits you going through a crosswalk or hits you in your car, reach out to our friends at the Advocates Injury Attorneys, and they'll get you hooked up. Hell, they ain't even going to take a dime until they win that case for you. I shouldn't throw an F-bomb in when I'm trying to help promote them.
It's the podcast, man.
Right. They knew what they signed up for.
Anything goes. We got a bleep button. We're here to use it.
Real quick, I just want to say again, for the last one we did, thanks to our buddy Brent Flyberg for coming on. He was super good. Cobb almost lost his job.
Nope, I heard. 5 weeks vacation is too much.
There's a limit.
Yeah, thanks for introducing me to him, Cobb. Tight guy.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm regretting it.
No, I think I told you in Ireland, we should just have him on more. He's just so easy to chat with, and he's funny.
Oh, and then a professional comedian. He's hilarious. Yeah. It's one of my closest friends.
And then our buddy Ron from Belfast. I forgot to say this on the front end of that, but he was kind of my tour guide one day in Dublin. Just super awesome. It was fun to hang out with him in person. He walked into to Darky Kelly's, the pub in the bottom of my hotel. I'm wearing a Seahawks shirt. There's a Seahawks game randomly playing on the TV. And all these Arsenal fans keep coming in. And he's like, are you f***ing with me right now? Because he's not an Arsenal fan. And I'm like, no. And finally we asked somebody, like, is there a meetup or something? And they're like, yeah, there's a game tonight in Dublin. I was like, all right. But yeah, look like I just planned the awesomest time ever. Meet me in a foreign country and I'll have all the fans and stuff I like. All right, Mr. Cobb, do we have some emails?
We do. Sorry. Got a little distracted. Wing King, to the boys of the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Actually, to Matt, the Wing King. With football coming up, I've been thinking about getting into making wings. I've never made them before. Any pointers for someone getting into the game?
Yeah, I mean, I've held the title for a long time. I just appointed it to myself after like my second time making them or something, and it just stuck. So I don't mind. I'm going to you got to steam them. If you're making them in the oven, I feel like these air fryers, you know, I don't mess with them, but I feel like the steaming beforehand would help with that too. I think that's an important piece of my process. And then you got to like, it's a bitch. You got to steam them. You got to pat them dry with a bunch of paper towels so they're not like wet from the steaming, and then put them in the fridge for at least an hour, preferably overnight. Bake them how you're going to bake them. I take mine out a little bit early, put some sauce in, put them back up so that sauce gets a little crispy, and then I dip them back in the sauce when they're out after that process for more sauce. Those are the main tricks.
And Ted, would love to know your secret dip recipe. Could trade you for a couple I know on making boom burgers or spaghetti. You want to respond?
Yeah, man. I don't know. I'm in a good mood. Here it is, folks. Get out your pen and pencil or paper. It's pretty simple. First of all, buy a can of Rotel Original. It's on the back of that, but I'll explain it to you. You get a pound of sausage, brown it up. It should be spicy. Sometimes I use mild because it hurts my tummy. Lately, I've been using ground up Italian sausage to give it just enough flavor. So you brown that up, drain the grease, put it over top a block of sour cream, mish that all together, open your can of Rotel, drain it, add that in, mix all three ingredients. That's it. Three ingredients. Throw in a Pyrex pan, 350 for about 25 minutes to 30 minutes. You could serve with either wheat thins or scoops.
Nice. That's huge.
Yeah.
Love you guys. Walla Walla Mike, a.k.a. Blue 8 Golf. P.S. Ted, Blue 8 Golf was my call sign in the Army with the big red one.
Big red one. Nice.
The BRO or the bro. I remember you saying your dad was in the bro. Hoo-ha to that.
He was. And a guy named Phil, last time I saw him at one of our events, he gave me a challenge coin from, I forget what fort it is, but it's from that Big Red One.
What's Big Red One mean?
It's an infantry. So Big Red, like there's, I don't want to screw this up.
That's okay. No worries. I don't want to put pressure. I just was curious.
No. I think it's a division, right? Because like the infantry has different divisions. So like everybody takes pride in there. So the Big Red One is one of them. It's kind of like you ever heard like, what's it like 82nd Airborne or this Airborne or?
Oh, yeah. First Marines. Infantry Division. Nice.
Yeah. So it is a division. Correct. All right.
Oldest continuously serving division in the U.S. Army, formed during 1917. Dude, that's actually pretty intimidating. Like, send in the big red one. Like, Jesus Christ, dude. These guys mean business.
Well, my dad used to tell the story, too, of like, he joins, you know, he's in the Army during the Vietnam War and he, like, goes to officer candidate school and they're all like planning what they're going to do. And then he said, there's just a blackboard and high ranking guy comes in. He starts writing real big letters and he's like, infantry, you guys are all now in the infantry. So whatever version of the Army thought he was choosing. It's like, no, we're at war. You're in the infantry now. So yeah.
You thought you were going to be a surgeon. Hope you can carry a rifle.
Right? Oh, military police after your tour of duty.
strap on this body armor. Let's see how it fits. Okay. Well, that was the end of that one. 227. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land. I'm a long time. Sorry. I got to actually read this instead of what's it called? Instead of like abbreviating it. I'm a long tea time listener, but I've been going back to the beginning podcasts. Nice. I just had to jog your memory of episode 227, way back in 18. Yeah, JK. LARP on, boys. Semper Fi, Greg in Northwest Ohio. I have no idea. Boys, do you have any idea what's... The subject is 227. Uh-huh. He's talking about episode 227. I'm a long tea time listener, but I've been going back to the beginning podcasts. I just had to jog your memory of episode 227 way back in 18. Yeah, JK. LARP on, boys.
Yeah, Jack K?
Yeah.
Is it like, Jake? Is it the letters or a name like Jack K?
It's spelled Jack K, like J-A-C-K-E-E, and then in parentheses, Ja, J-A-H space K-A-Y.
Yeah. So remember, you guys probably still don't remember this, but I was talking about an old TV show called 227, and it was like a black TV show. The woman's name was Jack Hay.
Oh, there you go. Damn, nice memory.
Right. When he said 227, that was the first thing. I was like, oh, maybe he knows the show.
But the episode number was also 227?
I think that's why I brought it up. Probably like, you guys remember 227 with Jack Hay? And you guys are probably like, what? Okay. No.
Gotcha. No.
Nope. Still was don't. A callback.
Remember it even less now.
Yeah, Cobb, I've heard it before.
All right, boys, I just have to call this out. I told Ted on the break, but so from where my office is, or like at my apartment, I have an office and it looks at a building directly across. And I was saying to Ted, I'm like, dude, if I get a little distracted in this episode, it's because there's like six different apartments with like women in tights, like running around doing various household activities. Now there's literally a couple showering in front of me, and I'm just like trying to focus on this podcast, and I only see the tops of their heads, but they're very clearly in the shower, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ, boys. So if you see me over, if you see me just sweating bullets over here during this email segment, that's why. I did not know I could see that, and there's nothing I can do about it because I'm stuck at this desk.
Sometimes couples just shower innocently together, man.
It is not innocent, my guy.
Sometimes they f- though.
We're borderline right now, and I'm not really sure what to do because like I'm not looking at them, but it's hard to look away. I'm trying to get through some emails.
Dude, that's tight.
I had to get it off my chest. Honestly,
am I allowed to just do a play-by-play for what's mattening? Can I just defer? Yeah.
Do you want to finish emails? Focus, man.
We have two more. All right, let's focus. Right now, he's under the shower head, so she's obviously getting cold. Weekly, we've all been there. Weekly topic, 5 years. Hi, guys. I think how we spend our free time will change a lot in the next 5 years. I've already noticed what feels like a growing interest in grandma hobbies. It seems like more people are getting tired of having every part of their lives shaped by technology or dominated by a handful of massive corporations. I'm definitely one of those people. I'm not even 30, but I love going for walks, knitting, crafting, shooting photos on a film camera, scrapbooking, and keeping physical photo albums. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate technology and all the conveniences it brings. But there's something really satisfying about making something with your own hands or spending time away from a screen. It feels like taking back a little control instead of letting everything revolve around apps and algorithms. On a side note, Ted, if you happen to be at the Chris Stapleton concert next Friday, let me know. First beer's on me. Thanks, Kylie.
Yeah, I had to miss Stapleton for Ireland, but it was out at the Gorge. Yeah, I get it. Like, people like those kind of old school stuff now.
I 100% agree. The car I drive is like a, 2011, I want to say. And it's all old, like knobs and buttons and stuff. It was like right before, like there's a little screen, but it kind of doesn't work that well. It was like right before they like digitized this particular like line of cars. And people love it. Like the seat heaters, you like turn a little knob. There's like a seat cooler, which I'd never seen before. You turn a little knob. It's like always little knobs and buttons. And it's all very tactile and analog. And I'm totally aligned with you, Kylie. I've been being drawn more towards that stuff too. We actually try to do some of that stuff with Cobb's Popcorn, like where we sign the bags individually and stuff. Like the digital world just isn't cutting it for people in a lot of ways. Like they, you know, we're starting to miss just like the humanity, you know, the humanness of things. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I was just going to say, like, we were talking about it earlier, but like, I really enjoyed me and you just having a walk about in Cork and like checking stuff out. Like, right. Like I got a picture in that cool old church, but it was like, yeah, it was just two dudes talking about life, learning history, trying out chips at Supermax.
Supermax was awesome.
Yeah, for sure. I've been reading a lot of books lately. And, you know, people have, and like, I order them and then I just give them away when I'm done. I like them to be a little newer. I don't love like library books. So it's just something that I just like, I try to buy lightly used, good condition ones. And then I got to feel the book. People are like, oh, you read so much. Why don't you just get a Kindle? And I'm like,
dude, just want to feel the book.
Yeah. Because I'm still going on my phone to check Twitter. I spent enough time with a piece of glass in my hand and blue light in my eyes, bro. Like, when I'm reading, I'm trying to, like, you know, unplug that a little bit. And, you know, yeah, it's definitely something that, like she was saying, like, there's a certain point of it that's really cool. Like, I still don't like having my phone when I work out because I used to just have my music on an external MP3 player. And I was just unreachable when I worked out. And that was tight. But now all my music's on my phone. And, like, that's fine. But, yeah, I definitely think there was, like, a sweet spot probably over 10 years ago now with technology. And we're at a point now where it's definitely overwhelming. And it's cool to see, you know, some people drift back away from it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree 100%. All right, one more email.
And I'm done with that comment, guys.
250 years and counting. Happy, I can't even say this word, happy semi-quincentennial, gentlemen. Was catching up on some episodes and heard Cobb say to Ted, "Someday you're going to marry a woman with fake breasts." Jesus.
I said that like 100 times.
Ted does like them busty. After Ted's tale about trying to act normal around a Decepticon, like everyone, I want the best for Ted, but I honestly don't see marriage in his future. Obviously, he probably doesn't share every single aspect of his life on the pod and doesn't have to, but all his fantastic social stories are about making time with dudes and married women, usually in suites at the Sphere or tailgating any event with a parking lot. And that's the Ted Smith. He's out there living his big dog life. More power to him. Or maybe he's going to prove us all wrong and find that unicorn of a blonde woman who wants to wake up early to watch collegiate baseball at the Burien Azteca. God, what a line, dude. Jesus, that's so good.
True or false? I was at the Burien Azteca last weekend. True.
Dude, she's out. Maybe you meet her at the Burien Azteca. God, like, man. That's a love story waiting to happen. She's like, "I thought I was the only one who came here for collegiate baseball." These days, anything is possible. # year of the dog. Top topics.
Yeah, look, those are most of my stories. But it's not like I haven't dated women or I'm against it. I just, yeah.
Well, and honestly, you may need to meet them in situ. Like, I'm kind of liking this Azteca angle, to be honest with you.
This has never been a cast where you come on and go like, "Oh yeah, I cracked some chick over the weekend." You know, it's like you might reference something that happened back in the past, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Well, Ted does all right.
Yeah, and it's not fair either because most people don't have a radio show and a podcast.
It helped so much in my 20s, man.
Right. Well, I'm just saying it's unfair, too. I don't want to, like, tell stories out of school.
Yeah.
That's fair. Honestly, I think I've only talked about, like, to be clear, I don't crack a lot of girls, but I think I've talked about sleeping with one woman on this podcast, and she heard it, and it went horribly wrong, like, within an hour. I was finishing, and I'll remember that forever. So, yeah, bad protocol, bad form.
Yeah, if you do sign up for Blue Chew Gold, though, use code word Ted, please. Give her Ted or KISW. Can't remember which one it is right now.
Jesus Christ, dude. God, all right, Ted, you're cracking jokes. I have this naked woman showering in front of me. I'm just trying to get through this email. Like, now she's like looking at herself in the mirror, literally like holding up her breasts. Like, I'm not sure what to do. Her hair slicked back. All right, what prize?
We can end it if you need to catch a beat.
No, he's got two cuts. Jesus. I think I need to get a girlfriend. I think that's what I need. Question, what product is the biggest difference between cheapest and most expensive? My answer, vehicles. Drive I-5 from Portland, Oregon to Vancouver, BC on a Friday afternoon in a Dodge Neon or a Rolls Royce and see which one you prefer. It's a good point.
Yep.
Not wrong. I've only ever driven one Rolls Royce when I was a valet. It was a Rolls Royce Phantom. I drove it like 6 feet, and he's not wrong. It was smooth. It was smooth, boys. I'll remember how soft those carpets were for the rest of my life.
Speaking of same smooth thing. And soft, how are your neighbors doing?
Dude, you don't want to know. They literally, I mean, it is a very good looking couple just staring at themselves in the mirror talking. They've just gotten out of the shower. They're both stark naked. I'm not really sure what to say.
That's a great moment.
That's old school. Just talking naked with your girl.
This is way better than that thunderstorm we did a couple months ago.
And then some guy live podcasting it. I think she's probably 26, dark brown hair. Beautiful. No, the nice thing is I can't actually see anything. There's like a half window divider that's sort of like frosted glass. So I can really only see them from like the shoulders up. Unfortunately. So what's something that's likely to happen in the next 5 years that everyone is completely ignoring? Answer, big movie theater chains shutting down. They have tried everything. IMAX, comfy chairs, gimmicky popcorn buckets, special events. But all that has done is raise prices higher and higher. Pandemic was a huge blow, but not the sole cause. I see small theaters sticking around, but even some of those are getting shut out in places with desirable real estate. Thank you again for continuing to put out great entertainment. I will gladly listen to any lightning watching podcast. The greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Shoves in my ears. Ross W., Toledo, Ohio. Well, how about what do they call like the books that are like what? Yeah, go zips. What do they call the books that are like about like sexual situations that women read?
Romance novels?
Romance novel. Yeah. How about us like live chatting a romance novel?
That would get a little weird.
Yeah, I'm kidding. That's what we were doing to him this podcast after the Lightning podcast.
All right. Let's check in with What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out What's Matt.
Hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Before we get to What's Matt,
hey, what's good? What's Matt?
Whoa. Check out with What's Matt.
Wow. I was just watching Cobb's eyes that whole segment, and I'm gonna look away during my segment because Cobb's eyes looking at them is distracting to me. I can only imagine what actually being able to see them on the other side of the screen would be for me, but like, I don't blame you at all, you know. It's been a couple weeks, but most recently last week we couldn't record because I was in Santa Barbara for my girlfriend's birthday.
Lovely.
Have you been?
I haven't, but I hear it's beautiful.
Cobb, have you been to Santa Barbara? Sorry to distract you, but have you been to Santa Barbara?
That's okay. You're not the one doing the distracting. Honestly, I don't think so. I've heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome. I lived there for like a year in my early 20s before I started working at KISW. And went back once for like a day or something for a wedding. So this is my first time like spending some extended time there. And it was Tyler's first time there. It was a lot of fun for sure. It was just kind of a trip because like I lived there. Like I was doing the math, like 2010.
All right. I'm looking it up right now. It looks gorgeous.
Yeah, so like 16 years ago, I was just a completely different person. Obviously, being her birthday trip is like a milestone of reflection and stuff too for both of her. So it was good. We had a great, great dinner in Montecito. Ted, if you see that on the map, that's the rich part of Santa Barbara, which is a very unaffordable place to begin with. I don't know who else lives there. It's just like Oprah has a house there is all you hear about it. Like, but Prince Harry, I think.
All right. So this is like north of L.A. as opposed to like Orange County being south.
Correct. Yeah. It's
okay.
Like
all right.
North of Ventura. And beautiful, pretty small town. Felt a little busy compared to the desert because it's a little more compressed out there on the coast. You know, everything's a little bit more dense. We're very spread out here. Yeah, it was awesome. The dinner in Montecito was like on this ranch that was like I think in like the built in like the 1700s by like the King of Spain or something, and like they had the deed in the lobby for the like rooms if you were staying there, and it like went through all these different owners and ended up with the guy from the Beanie Babies, Ty Warner, owns it now, and so.
Good
it was pretty cool looking at like following from the King of Spain to the Beanie Baby guy, like down this big official legal document. They have like a rose garden and like a food garden, like on property. We walked through the rose garden after dinner, so it was dark. We didn't see as much with the vegetables and stuff, but still just like a stunning piece of land. And they had like a bunch of, all the food was phenomenal, but like it was also mostly tableside prepared, like
all right,
smoked mocktails, smoked with pear wood.
I saw that, yeah. And you guys look great, yeah.
I was like, sick.
Yeah,
I'm not a mocktail guy, I usually just will order a Shirley Temple, and it's like, yeah, let's spend $4 and get free refills, and like, I don't need your fancy mocktail. Shirley Temples are awesome, like. When I stopped drinking, Shirley Temples were one of my go-tos. It's the OG mocktail, and it's free refills.
I mean, I drink cocktails, and I don't need all that smoke.
But they got us for the smoked mocktails for sure, like 26 a pop or something. But I was
it looked awesome.
Yeah,
I'd rather, yeah, it was well worth it. Our waiter was great. We had salad, and then for dinner, we split the Dover sole. They have it flown in from Dover twice a week, and he filleted it table side and deboned it, took out all the bones on one swoop, like from the spine.
Nice. Just
kind of, you know, he went in there with the spatula thing and wedged it around a little bit, but when he pulled that thing up from like the tail, just the whole spine, just in one piece, it was awesome. Got the skin off perfectly, so smooth, like it's just mesmerizing to watch. And we got Bananas Foster flambéed table side at the end.
Proper.
Yeah. Really cool spot.
What did they do with the salt? What did they do with the fish? Just like saute it right next to you?
It was already cooked when they brought it out, and then he cut it up and plated it for us. And took the
Yeah, it's like getting the tomahawk, and they cut it up next to you.
Yeah, yeah, and they had, I forget what exactly was in that sauce. It was like lemon, garlic, something, and it was just like so goddamn good. They gave it in its own separate container. He's like, you might want a straw with that at the end. Let me know. He wasn't wrong. And the caramel sauce. We also got a passion fruit. What are those things called? Why can't I think of it?
Like a tart?
Sort of. They take a long time. You have to order them ahead of time. They take like
souffle.
Yeah, passion fruit souffle with this caramel lilikoi sauce that you poured into it. That I was also like, dude, we'll take a straw for this one too.
Nice,
phenomenal meal. We had a lot of great food there, man. It was just a really good time showing her around. The next day, so Alpha Dog, Ted, you remember that movie?
I do, and I know you know where that beach is.
Yeah. Cobb, have you seen Alpha Dog?
No.
All right. Well, spoiler alert, it's 20 something years old, but it's based on a true story. It's one of the most accurate like Hollywood adaptations of a true story ever. One of the big switches is instead of Santa Barbara in the movie, they go to Palm Springs. So we've been to all the filming locations out here, but the true story, they went up to Santa Barbara from LA to kidnap this kid and then eventually kill him. But it's like a really good movie, and he had the sickest 3 days. He was just partying, and
that's the issue, is that it's a really good movie, but it is so tragic and horrible at the end.
Yeah.
Timberlake's a beast in it though.
Yeah. So like I said, we've been to all the filming locations, and I like went down the rabbit hole before this trip and I found all the real locations of everything. So we did a little like Alpha Dog tour, it was a little bit morbid, but it was so goddamn fun. It's such a good movie. And like, you know, we were honoring the kid that died in a way. Like we were talking about him the whole goddamn time. We're keeping him alive 26 years after the fact. Like,
I still don't like Emile Hirsch as an actor because of that movie. Dude, I fathom he's just an actor, but yeah.
There were a lot of like, dude, I hate this guy, but what a great performance. Like Ben Foster in that thing is like just an amazing psychopath.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we went through like the hotel they took him to. We had lunch there. The spot where they shot him is like a really sick kind of hiking outdoor area called Lizard's Mouth. And like the pictures of us at the grave were all like smiling and excited because it was hard to find. And it's like, God damn it, dude.
Yeah.
But yeah, we just had a great time reminiscing and making good memories. I saw my old boss when I worked out there, who had a tremendous impact on my sort of work ethic and attitude, and you know, like, he's right up there with you, Ted, in terms of like not my dad, influential male figures.
Oh, thanks, dude.
With impact and downstream effects, where it's like, if I think about it too long, I'm just kind of like, holy shit, man. Like, this is wild. And just a lot of gratitude. And so It was great to see him. I mean, downtown, there's a great dive bar club that like used to pop off when I lived there. Like it was always so crazy. It's called the Wildcat, but we all called it the Shitty Kitty. And
went still back, go?
It was just dead, dude. Like yeah. In the back section, just the two of us having a non-alcoholic Heineken, and the main section is not anymore popping. And I was just like, dude, you know, we were there like Sunday to Thursday or something. But when I saw my boss, I was like, dude, what is going on with State Street, the downtown stretch where it was just like seven nights a week, hot college girls just partying at the bars, like straight out of like what you'd see on like, what was that Tara Reid show on E?
Wild On?
Wild On, yeah. I was going to say Wild and Out, but that's Nick Cannon. Wild On, dude. Hell yeah. Like, just nice old school.
Call.
Yeah. I had a feeling Ted might come through there. I wasn't asking Cobb.
Hey, that was a great show.
I am a Tara Reid fan, though. To be clear.
Yeah. So, RIP State Street nightlife. I'm glad I was there when I was. I prefer the desert now for quite a number of reasons. But the weather was really good for the summer there, and getting to go in the water, go to the beach, get some great seafood was just spectacular. And yeah, we had an awesome time. It's a great town. Highly recommend it. Bring your checkbook. Save up. It's not cheap.
I think that's fair. But I will say, Santa Barbara, like, nothing about it. Like, I would love to go visit it. Does not sound affordable.
We always used to say it's not cheap, but it's worth it.
Yeah. That's what I used to say about Orange County, too. Like, once I went there, I was like, oh, I kind of get it now.
Well, the value proposition's real, man.
All right. Well, I mean, good for you. I mean, I'm glad we're all having great trips.
Hell yeah, man.
All right. Well, it is about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
Cobb topic.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, boys. I mentioned earlier driving that Rolls-Royce Phantom. That was one of the best jobs I've ever had. I was a valet at Caroline Point. If you listen to the podcast at all, you've probably heard me bring it up. It's like my glory days. The cop topic, we've all had kind of like shitty jobs at different times. I was a soccer referee and just a bunch of other random stuff, construction worker. The cop topic this week is kind of about those jobs, which is like, I feel like in today's day and age, people kind of like look down on quote unquote, like unskilled labor. Cop topic is what unskilled job would humble most people after just one shift? Feel free to email us, email at thepodcast.com. What unskilled job would humble most people after just one shift? I just want to go quick, jump ahead of you guys with mine. When I was working construction, there was only one day where they just had me dig the whole day. Like I was digging a line for something. Oh my God. Digging with a shovel for 7 hours is ruthless work. Truly ruthless.
Yeah. I mean, being a janitor is very disrespectful people were, but it's not like people could do that job. But being a landscaper, like that one summer I did that. That was hard work. Long hours. It's hot outside. And you're right. Like there were some days, like one day I just wheeled a wheelbarrow, filled it with dirt, like 50 sometimes. That's what I did that day. Right? Talk about the only thing close I can say it after the first couple of days of being a landscaper in the summer, it reminded me like after my first like freshman football practice, I was like, I've never been this tired in my life. And same thing with like being a janitor, just like, I got to get up and keep doing this every day.
Yeah. And some of those jobs, like the wheelbarrow thing, like there's just no way to speed it up. People are like, oh, you got to be efficient. You got to be whatever. It's like, Nope. It's just me in a wheelbarrow. Like, there's not really a lot of ways to cut that pie. You know, like, it's just brute force time for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. People would be humbled for sure. Landscaping. Matt?
I was thinking about garbage men. I was never like a, like, come get your cans type of garbage man. Those guys are like, it's almost like they're so used to just being ignored or, you know, hopefully not disrespected, because like, it's such an essential service. And like, if they went on strike for a month, we would all get real gross real quick. And like,
yeah.
Every time I get a chance, I'm just like, hey man, thank you, it's great to see you. You know, I don't want to be like, I used to work in the industry, but like, I did the like dump runs, like 1-800 Got Junk does, but for a different company back then.
Nice. You don't want to say which one?
Well, they're not around anymore.
Oh, okay.
Rubbish truck. We only had two trucks, but like, it was
rubbish truck.
Yeah. One time we had to go down to Kent and clean up a meth lab that had been seized by the government without any PPE, I might add. And it was like, shouldn't this like have a hazmat team over here? My friend.
I like to think somebody was picking up the phone to call 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and somebody else like put their hand on the phone. It's like, no. This one's for the rubbish truck.
Very fancy, though, calling it rubbish. I mean, it's like, oh, the rubbish bin. I'm on that now.
Yeah, it's so European.
By the way, they need more rubbish bins around the city and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's crazy when you really think about, and I've watched a documentary or YouTube video or something about like how good sanitation like really leveled up civilization, and you can still kind of see it today where like countries and places that haven't, it still feels like hundreds of years ago, and like how crazy advanced everything is here. And they're like, dude, yeah, that all starts with like having a sanitation system that gets rid of all the nasty stuff, and it's like this invisible job that you know, sometimes you're running late, the truck's in your way or whatever, like, you're better off with them around. Like,
yeah.
And next time you see them, just acknowledge their existence if you can. Like I said, I think they're like, just like, they're tough to catch and be like, hey, thank you. Hey, good to see you. Yeah, you know,
look, having sanitation and having running water is massive pluses.
Yeah. Big time.
All right. We're back next week. Yes. Everybody in?
Yes.
All right. Football's back. We didn't get to talk about it. We'll talk about it next week. Other than that, man, get out there and enjoy the last couple weeks of summer. We'll be back next week. For MCTP, for Cobb, and me, Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
What you're listening to presumably doesn't suck, so neither should your sound system. Sonos lets you listen seamlessly from room to room. Same great sound, expertly tuned, astonishingly clear. It's not magic, but it's not magic.